برائے خوشنودی امام زمانہ بلند تر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجمين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم صل على وليك الحجة الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك الضوضاء وتمتعه فيها طويلا. There were some questions yesterday and relating to prayers and fasts. One of the questions is regarding the dress code, and we did talk about this on and off many times. That is, a dress code is required for men, a dress code is required for women, both of them. It has to be humble, it has to be loose fitting, it has to cover the entire body. When it comes to prayers, women, their covering in prayers, it's from head to toe. The entire body has to be covered. It may so happen that you may be wearing trousers, jeans, whatever we have now, and your prayers may be fine with it. But sometimes in the dress code, and in particular in prayers, if the body is not covered properly, if any part of the body of a woman shows, that prayer becomes batil. Now, what we have nowadays are these socks that people have come up, these tiny ones, which covers only the foot. Now with these socks on and with the trousers on it, when you bow down into sajda, you find that your trousers, they get stretched, and from here, a little part of the foot, the leg, it's shown, it's evident. That will make that namaz batil, the prayer will be batil. So wearing these socks, it's fine. But it will become problematic when it comes to the prayers, and if your leg is to be seen in any way, any part of it, that will make that prayer batil. The other thing is that, what about fasts? If someone commits sins, may that be regarding the covering, hijab for example? Or for example, in the men also there might be sins that are being committed by them. What about the fasts? Fasts are fine, but we talked about the do's and don'ts that make the fast valid. There are certain things, if you abide by them, that fast is going to be okay. But even in fasting, we have different categories. The basic, it's not doing those harams during the fast that will make your fast valid. But there is a second degree and a second category of those who observe these fasts. That is, every sin, every disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to be put aside. Everything. For example, backbiting, lying, it may not invalidate the fast. But the quality of that fast is definitely going to be ruined by those sins if they are committed during the fast, or listening to haram, listening to music for example, which is haram. If someone does listen to that, his fast will be fine. But then that second grade of fasting, which is the high quality or elite class mu'mineen's fast, based upon that category, that fast is batil. According to fiqh, it's fine. But then, because we are aiming to be the best among the mu'mineen, for that reason we have to be correct in every aspect, no sins of whatever. Inshallah, in this wasiyah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which we will recite from tonight, there we will come to know what exactly is mentioned by all of these issues. Salam. One of the topics that we have, it's known as takfir. Takfir means to cover. Now we talked about this dress code. It's a covering, it's a protection. Sometimes the wrong that we do in this world, and if a person corrects himself, we find that all that wrong, it's covered by Allah, the Lord of Allah, He forgives. One of the things which He hates is being adamant, standing against Him, in whatever way, in whatever manner. When it comes to ahkam, saying that this is tiny, that's nothing, it's a little frost. That is standing against the teachings of God. It is disobedience. So someone who becomes disobedient will finally fall into the traps of pride, ghurur, kibr, and then ultimately stand against Allah, and that is the greatest of sins. Now for that, if a person puts himself away from all that, corrects himself, Allah says He will cover all the wrong that was done. I'll give you some examples which will make the topic clear. For example, someone lives the life as a kafir, 70 years, and at the age of 70, 75, he corrects himself, becomes a Muslim. So a life, 75 years, all wrong, all filth, all sins were committed, and in the disobedience of Allah. Now just for saying that La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he becomes a Muslim. Allah says because of that Islam of that individual, all the wrong of that 75 years will be covered. This is takfir, where Allah covers all the wrong that was done. Another example we can mention is shahada. That someone who fights for the cause of Islam, hadith says, this person who dies in the way of Allah, when he is hit, when he is killed, the first drop of his blood, when it drops onto the ground, falls to the ground, says all the wrong he had done will be forgiven. Because of that sacrifice which he has given for the cause and for the name of Allah. So shahadat also covers all the wrong that an individual had done. Tawbah, repentance. This is the month of Tawbah, among the names which we have for this month. It's Shahrul Inaba, the month of returning to Allah. Despite all the wrong that we have, we sincerely have come to this month and we ask Allah to forgive. Seeking forgiveness is that all the wrong that I was doing till now, from now on, it's a restoration of the system. From now on, I will not be repeating those sins. That is Tawbah. And Allah says that someone who has repented, all the wrong he had done in the past will be forgiven, no matter what wrong. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanb kaman la dhanb lah. That someone who has repented from a sin is as if there is no trace of sin on his existence. That is the beauty of this tawbah. So tawbah also covers, that is, takfir, all the wrong that was done will be forgiven. One of the other factors which plays an important part in this is shafa'at. Shafa'at means I have a shortfall in my a'mal and there is someone who is stronger than me in his a'mal. He helps me out in the hereafter. In barzakh, in qiyamah, he helps me out. Now this concept of tawassul that we have with masumeen, that is when we get stuck, we seek help from them and they help us out. Now, will they help out anyone? There has to be something in me, some type of a credit in me, which attracts them, some reflection between me and them, some combination, something common in the two of us, which will help us out in that time of need, and that is shifa'at. So shifa'at also covers the wrong that I have done during my life, and by someone who becomes my shafi'. Riwayat say that a person who has come to an old age, parents for example, elderly, says that that old age which Allah gives them, as a result of that old age, He covers all the wrong of that individual that was done during his youth when he was young. That is, a person who was young, who had committed sins, now that he has come to an age, he repents. And Allah says, because of that age of his, and that he has corrected himself, I will cover the wrong he had done during his lifetime. So all this is grace of Allah, special grace of Allah, the Almighty. One of the things we have to teach ourselves, especially in this month of Ramadan, is to have a lot of hope in Allah, a lot of hope. The more the hope we have in Him, the better we will be judged, the easier we will be judged. And it is said that even when it comes to dreams, sometimes people they say that I saw this dream, I saw that dream, and this is the interpretation, it means this is going to happen, that is going to happen, all this doesn't happen. How you translate, how you interpret your dream, that is going to happen. If you see something bad, you interpret it as good, good will happen. If you see something good and you relate it or translate it in a negative way, negative will happen. So it is our belief, it is our aqeedah, it is our faith, how we interpret what we see, that is going to happen. That is, if we have a lot of hope in Allah, a lot of positive looking in our life, that positive will take place. So that is something which we have to correct ourselves. Now the other thing which we have, bala, tests, trials, afflictions, loss of jobs, etc., or shortage of funds, problems that are seen in families. Now all these are problems that come around on and off in our lives. Says that these are tests from Allah. As a result of that, the wrong that we had done, that will be covered. So bala, in a way, it's good. When we see all this wrong and afflictions in an individual, it doesn't mean that he was a wrongdoer, as a result of which he is punished in this way and Allah is testing him in that way. No. When the tests and trials are seen in mu'mineen, it's either li'ulubbid darajah, Allah wants to elevate their ranks in this dunya and in the hereafter, he tests them in different ways. Or it is for the forgiving of their sins, that Allah wants them to be forgiven. Because we believe, a mu'min, he will never be punished in the hellfire forever. A mu'min has to ultimately get into the hell. Now, either he sees the punishments in this world, and there is no double punishment. If someone committed a sin and he repented in this dunya, if that sin was not that huge and large and his repentance was accepted by Allah, he will be forgiven. For example, if someone, God forbid, kills another person, and in an Islamic state, the ruling is that the killer has to be killed. Now this person who had committed a sin, had killed another person, sees his punishment and is killed in an Islamic government, on the day of judgment, Allah will not ask him, why did he kill that person? He has seen the punishment and there will not be another punishment for that same sin. One sin, one punishment. One wrong, one punishment. For mu'mineen, we find that Allah afflicts them in different ways so that they are purified in this world, because Jannat, it is all pure. The heaven, it's all pure. Purity attracts purity. A mu'min has to have all that purity. All the wrong in him has to fall aside, and only then can he enter in the heaven. Now with all the wrong that we have, that wrong has to be washed away in this world, and only then ultimately can we enter the heaven. Sometimes we find that people get ill. Those illnesses are factors where Allah forgives them. Sometimes people, they have a painful death. Riwayat, they say that this painful death is Allah wants to forgive that individual in this world. For that reason, he gives him a painful death so that he is purified. His account over here in this dunya closes and he enters the hereafter in a pure, in a cleaner way. Sometimes the sins are so large that they cannot be forgiven in this dunya. So they are purified in Barzakh. From the day of their death until the day of resurrection, depending on the amount of wrong they have done, they will be purified in Barzakh. And sometimes, if that wrong was so heavy, so much, Allah said that they will be punished in the hereafter, in the hell for a duration of time, and after seeing the punishment, they will be sent to the heavens. This is this whole concept of adalat, of justice, of this grace of Allah Ta'ala towards the mu'mineen. So, balas, tests, problems, afflictions, diseases, sicknesses that we have in this dunya, for mu'mineen, it is either Allah wants to elevate their ranks, or it is that Allah wants to forgive them in this dunya. Now, I'll quote you some more examples. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib says that one who has been tried and punished by Allah in this world, He, the Almighty, will not try him, will not punish him once again in the hereafter. Salman, this noble companion of Rasulullah, he fell ill. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he comes to visit Salman. And then Rasulullah says to Salman that you are ill. You have three specialities which no one else has. What is that? Says, first of all, because of this illness of yours, Allah has a special grace towards you, special ayah, Allah towards you, because you are ill. The other thing is that because you are ill, all of your du'as are accepted. Normally, it's the other way around. People who fell ill, they ask us to pray. When here, the teaching is that we have to ask that person to pray for us, that person who is ill, because his du'as, her du'as are accepted quicker. That's the second special grace of a person on a person who is ill. And then says, someone who is ill, because of that illness, Rasulullah says, all his sins, they are forgiven. One of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abdullah bin Yahya, he, in the presence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he wants to sit on his bed. There wasn't anything around him. He bumps his head, falls and injures himself very badly. He sits and starts thinking that why, what happened, what did I do? Why did this head of mine have to bump in such a way that I had to get wounded so badly? Here Amir al-Mu'mineen says that the reason why you hurt yourself is because you did not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim when you wanted to sit. Now although saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not wajib, but depending on that caliber and that status of an individual, now Abdullah bin Yahya was of a high status, because he did not say that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Amir al-Mu'mineen says he bumped his head, he wounded, he hurt himself. So sometimes Allah punishes or Allah wants to elevate the rank of an individual so that he comes to know himself, say in this way. He pinches him, sometimes he hurts him, so that we reboot our system and come to ourselves. One of the noble great ulama, it's Ayatullah Hatib Hassan Isfahani, he says throughout his life, how much he lived, we don't know, 70, 80 years, says throughout his life, only one of his Fajr prayers, he missed azan, just one. And then he says that, whenever I missed any one of my nocturnal prayers, I waited that there is going to be some type of bala which is going to fall on me. That is for mu'mineen. That is, Allah tests them in a way, because Allah wants to elevate them, and Allah wants to give them higher status. Riwayat, they say that, the problems that we have during our life, instead of complaining, the teaching is that we have to be grateful, thankful to Allah, although it's a difficult situation that we fell ill and we thank Allah for giving this illness to us. That is the situation of those elite class mu'mineen, and the teaching is as such. Riwayat, they say that someone who gets a headache, for that one headache which Allah gives, he says, the wrong that was committed by that individual for 1 year is forgiven, just because of that one headache. A woman who sees her monthly cycle says at the end of the cycle, because of the pain she is going through, the difficult time she is going through, on the last day of her cycle, Allah forgives all the wrongs she had committed until that moment. That is that special grace of Allah. Or riwayat say that a woman who is in labor giving birth, Because of the pain she is going through, and doctors, they say, physicians, they say that the pain which a woman who is giving birth sees is 50-fold more than all the aches and pains if combined together by an individual at one go. It's 50-fold more which she sees just because of that one labor and giving birth to a baby. Here, Masumin, they say that because of that pain she is going through, Allah forgives all the wrong that she has done during her life. So all these are special graces of Allah which come under the under this topic of takfir, where Allah covers, where Allah waives all the wrong that an individual had done throughout his life. Inshallah, we try and talk on this more tomorrow. Salaam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Coming back, that is, to this topic of this month, may Allah help us in understanding these glorious sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in understanding them and applying them onto our daily program. When Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was returning from the battle of Siffin, he has an advice, a wasiyya, to his son Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And in this wasiyya, Amir al-Mu'mineen teaches his son. Now, throughout the wasiyya, wasiyya in Arabic means a will. Wasiyya, it doesn't mean that a person has to die and that will has to be applied. Wasiyya here means an advice. The will of Amir al-Mu'mineen meaning an advice. The teaching is that a khatib of a Jummah or the Eid prayers has to advise mu'mineen to taqwa. He must use the phrase taqwa, ittaqullah. That is, usikum wa nafsi bi taqwallah. I invite you and myself to the taqwa of Allah. It doesn't mean that I have to die and after my death that wasiyya has to be carried out and then people have to be invited to taqwa. No. Wasiyya over here means an advice. It's a beautiful advice. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he starts it as such. Now throughout this advice, we have phrases which contradict with the concept of ismat. Now for example, at a place he says that, addressing to his son, وَتَاجِرِ الْغُرُورِ, he says, a trader of deceit. Or sometimes the phrase is used, وَسَّرِيعِ الشَّهَوَاتِ, someone who has fallen behind in his tasks due to the desires and shahawat which he has. Now if you look into these phrases, it seems as if either the wasiyyat is not right or the person who is being addressed, which is Imam al-Mujtaba, is not a ma'soom. Because we believe Imam is ma'soom, his son is also ma'soom. So the words that are being uttered by Amir al-Mu'mineen do not befit a ma'soom being addressed as such. Whence? Imam is ma'soom. Imam al-Mujtaba is also ma'soom and the wasiyya is also right. So how do we correct this whole issue? For the message to be conveyed to us as how a father should be giving an advice to his son, how our fathers should be giving an advice to us, how we as fathers should be conveying the message to our children, then Amir al-Mu'mineen delivers the message to his son and starts min al-walid al-fan. Says from a father who is perishable, who will come to an end, who is dying. Doesn't say an aliyyin amir al-mu'mineen ila waladihi al-hasan. Doesn't say as such. If that was the case, then the wordings of this wasiyya also would have been different. Says min al-walid al-fan, from a father who is dying, who is perishing, who has come to a stage and is now breaking down. Al-Muqirr al-Zaman, Al-Mudbir al-Umr, who has come to the final stages of his life. Now this father is giving an advice to his son, Al-Muqirr al-Zaman, who has seen the ups and downs of his life. Now throughout our life, it isn't as such that everything is stable, everything is normal, although we all like to have a life without any hitches, without any hiccups, a stable and smooth life. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen says that someone who has come to this old age, who has seen the ups and downs, the hiccups, the hitches in a life, this person is giving you an advice. المستسلم للدهر الظامي للدنيا, and someone who criticizes dunya. It is in a such that in this advice, Amirul Mu'mineen is talking loud about this dunya. He is criticizing dunya. Now what does dunya mean? Dunya means all these attractions, the charms that we have in this world, which puts us away from Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. That is dunya. Anything which puts us away from Allah. It doesn't mean that this world is bad, all the creation, all the good things in this world are bad. No. Dunya, it has places of worship, it has shrines, it has mosques, it has all these beautiful places which are good. Whenever Amir al-Mu'mineen says that I'm criticizing dunya, it doesn't mean everything in this dunya is bad. This dunya is a tool. It is a means. We seek help of this dunya to get to the hereafter, to the akhirah. That is dunya. And then says, Addam min al-dunya. This advice is from someone who has passed his life and who hates the inordinate desires of the world. And then says, As-sakin, masakin al-mawta. Someone is giving you this advice who will be very soon settling with the dead. Now this too again is a lesson to us. That is, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we have to depart from this world. It isn't as such that we have to live here forever. When we talk about this concept of death, normally people, when this death is mentioned, they think that it's, yeah, it's for someone else, not for us. And even if someone dies, we all think about him, how he was, how he wasn't. We never think that we also have to pass through the same phase. And a time will come that we also have to be ending up like them. There are some tips in this aspect, inshallah. I will come to them when we come to those phrases. And then says, As-sakini, masakin al-mawta, wa-dhamani anha qadan, ila al-waladi mu'ammali ma la yudra. To someone, to a son who has a lot of hopes, who is very hopeful. Now this father, he has come to the end of his life. He has seen the ups and downs, he has a lot of experience, and he can give an advice to his son. But normally, youth and young, because of that height of the youth, the time they are in, they don't accept these advices so easily. So a father, no matter how much he says, it has no effect or has little effect on the youth. And then says, As-saliki sabila man qad halak, traveling the path of the dead, وَرَهِينَةَ الْأَيَّامِ وَرَمِيَّةَ الْمَصَائِبِ وَعَقْدِ الدُّنْيَا. Now addressing to someone who is young, who is true to his son, says, caught in the tests and trials of a life, a slave of this world. Now Imam continues and comes to this point and says that فَأُوْسِيكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. The first thing which Imam mentions is that I give you the advice to observe the taqwa of Allah. Taqwa means to fear. Now the interpretation of taqwa that we have, taqwa is on three stages. The first stage of taqwa is that all a person has to know which will protect him from the everlasting fire of the hell. That is the first stage of taqwa. It means that we have to know our usul. I believe in the oneness of God. I believe in the adalat of Allah, in the prophethood of Rasulullah, in the concept of imamat, and then my belief in the day of judgment. That is the first package of taqwa, the first stage of taqwa. And someone who enters into this stage of taqwa will be called and classified as a Muslim. Now we believe in all these aqaid. And we also believe that shaitan is fighting and has who is the sworn enemy who is fighting us and is trying all his best to overtake us and to take us to his party. And we also have to do something so that he doesn't win, we win. If you look into these du'as that we have, for example, du'a adila. Towards the end of the du'a, a du'a adila is all these abide of ours, oneness of God, belief in him, And then the concept of Risalat, Imamat, Adalat, the books that he has sent, the angels, the hell, the heaven, Sirat, everything is mentioned over there. And towards the end of the dua, we say that Allahumma inni awda'tuka yaqini hada, that Allah, to you I surrender or deposit this yaqeen of faith of mine, and you give it back to me when I will be in need. That is, the person when he is dying, shaitan attacks and he misleads. And many a times these temptations that we have in this world, they result as such that shaitan wins and we lose. And a person dies as a disbeliever, as a kafir. For shaitan not to win, I'll give you a tip, a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And that is, tonight when you go home with wuzu, facing Qibla, sit one-to-one talk with Allah and tell Him that my belief in you is what you have. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, all one. Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And my belief in your justice, my belief in the concept of risalat, in the concept of imamat, and in the day of judgment. And then tell Him, I believe in the book you have sent, which is Quran. I believe in all the prophets. I believe in the angels. I believe in the hell and the heaven. And then tell Allah that this is my iman, this is my aqeedah. I am safe keeping this aqeedah before you. And there is no one better than you. And I want you to return this aqeedah to me at the time of my death. And He will return it to you. And this works like miracle. And if we don't do that now, shaitan wins. Because the temptations at the time of death are such that he will win. And for him not to win, we have to do these little tips, apply these little applications on us. So Imam, the first thing he says, فَأُوْسِيكَ بِالتَّقْوَى اللَّهِ, I advise you to observe taqwa. The first stage of taqwa is that the usul al-deen of an individual has to be perfect. And the second stage of taqwa is that everything which is haram has to be away, and everything which is wajib has to be applied. And then says, وَعِمَارَةِ قَلْبِكَ بِذِكْرِكَ. And I advise you to develop your heart with the remembrance of Allah. And inshallah, forthcoming days, Imam will talk about the different moods that a heart has, the ups and downs which a heart has, and then says that this heart of an individual has to be developed. Like what we have developed countries, developing countries and underdeveloped countries. The same thing is with a heart. Allah wants this heart to be developed. That is, Allah has to rule in this heart. All the wrong which exists in this heart has to be thrown away. And all that rules, which rules on this heart, has to be Allah. It says, وَعِمَارَةِ قَلْبِكَ بِذِكْرِهِ. And you develop your heart with the remembrance of Allah. And remembrance also, it's on different kinds. Sometimes you remember Him in your heart. Sometimes you remember Him in practice, and sometimes you remember the Almighty with your tongue, with all these recitals that we have. وَالْإِعْتِسَامْ بِحَبْلِهِ. The other advice which Amir al-Mu'mineen gives over here is that is, and cling to the rope of servitude and obedience of Allah the Baraka wa Ta'ala. And what means better than that between you and God? That is, between us and Allah, there is a huge big distance. There is this malakut which is above us. There is this hell which is below us. And we are just hanging in the middle. For us to get to the higher levels, for us to ascend, there is no way but that we cling to this cord, this rope of Allah, and that is this imamah, concept of imamah that we have. Without that, it is impossible. So Imam over here says that وَالْإِعْتِسَامْ بِحَبْلِهِ, I advise you to cling strong, firm to this cord, which is the habl of Allah the Baraka wa Ta'ala. And then says, there are some values. The first one was taqwa Allah. When it comes to the values which Allah has mentioned for us, It isn't that such riches, wealth, charms, beauties, blue eyes, blonde hair, all these are not, none of this verse has merits and values. Values which Allah has mentioned in Quran, it says that in Akramakum Indallahi Atqakum, the best among you is the one who possesses the maximum taqwa. That taqwa of Allah Ta'ala observes the rights and is obedient to Allah Ta'ala. InshaAllah, we continue this journey. May Allah Ta'ala help us in this sacred month of Ramadan in understanding these glorious sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen and in applying them onto us. May Allah give us a heart which is ma'mur, which is developed, which is the rule of Allah Ta'ala. All those who are in an ailing, all those who have requested for du'as, all those who have passed away, may Allah elevate their ranks. May Allah count us among the best of His servants, our children among the best of Muslims who ever existed. May Allah hasten the return of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah, and enlist us among His true servants, supporters, and those who seek Shahada in His service. Wajib, Imperative, Mawlana, and Sahib, Salaam.